This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We have Dean Wheeler with us. Mr. Wheeler is an educator and lecturer from the San Francisco Bay Area to talk to us about a lecture series he's been involved in on racism in everyday life and what we can all do as individuals to combat it, as opposed to simply looking to another, piece of legislation, Mr. Wheeler, or another proclamation of a well-known community leader and so forth. So we welcome you onto our program, and what do you think about that? This is a more of a one person-to-person problem, isn't it?
It really is, Phil. In our lecture series, we try to point out that racism is everywhere in our society, and we've seen what racism can do. When you look at the terrible disaster that we've all witnessed on television in New Orleans, I don't think it takes a lot to reach out and bridge the racial divide that can separate us and divide this country. But I don't know if people want to take the time, and that's really what this is all about as we conduct our seminars and our community discussion groups.
Now, you said it's time to speak up forcefully as individuals. Tell me what you mean by that.
Phil, I think we can all make a difference. If you see or hear racist behavior, knowing what we know about our society, what we've seen in New Orleans, I think that you say it directly to a person and say it with conviction. Because people respect anybody who is definite and clear in their thinking.
All right, there's a couple of examples in your book. Here's a chapter called Night Out. Now, you talked about a date that you were on with a colleague of yours?
Yeah, she was from our ashram in Mill Valley, where we do a lot of, we do an awful lot of prenatal midwife training, as well as some of our yoga. And it was an interesting experience, but I saw it. It's more shocking when you see racism coming from a person that you thought you wanted to get to know and share time with, and then you see what they really are, and you have to maintain your composure. But you also have to be very direct and not tolerate it.
All right. Here you are in a social situation with a young woman that you're trying to get to know, and you say that she has done or said something that is racially insensitive.
You bet, Phil. The thing that you have to...
Tell me what took place.
You bet. We were at a place called Munsao's. It's in the Asian section of San Francisco.
And that's in Chinatown?
You bet, Phil. It is Chinatown. I don't really like to call it that because it's a little bit of a throwback to a more demeaning time. But we're in a very nice and also a very traditional Chinese restaurant. The other thing to know is that I'm very well known in the Asian community here in San Francisco. The Chinese business people know me. I do a lot of lecturing. We do a lot of our yogic and our seminars here. And, in fact, I have the rare privilege of having the Chinese respectfully bow to me, many of the merchants. So I'm very well known, and I've got a reputation among the Chinese here in this part of San Francisco. And we were in a Chinese restaurant. I was looking forward to spending time with Kathleen. As you mentioned, she is a colleague. And we ordered our food, which was a simple traditional Mandarin dish. And I heard her say to the server, "Would you please bring me a place setting?" And that indicated that she wasn't going to eat with chopsticks. And so you sort of brace yourself.
All right, so she not eating with chopsticks would indicate what?
Well, it indicates an insensitivity. The Chinese don't mind serving Europeans or Western people. They don't mind serving the white man, but they do notice how people behave and react in their homes and businesses. And you know that they are very quick to anger people. They are inscrutable in a lot of ways, but they will, you know, they'll get up into your face. And
all right, you mentioned in the book that they brought your food. You and this young lady, she proceeds to take silverware out of a napkin.
You bet, Phil. Now, watching someone who's exhibiting this trait is obviously repulsive.
She's not using chopsticks.
She's not using chopsticks. And she's showing a kind of a lack of respect for very, very ancient culture. And the other part of this is her racism. It puts me in a bad situation. I'm very well known. And the Chinese see me out with this person who is of such low breeding and of such low opinion of herself as well as her fellow human beings that she can't even walk into a Chinese restaurant and use chopsticks. And so
your notoriety plays into this as well?
You bet. I understand the Chinese. And one of the things about the Chinese is you don't really want to get them angry. I was there in this restaurant owned by people I know, and now here's a Western woman who's using a fork.
Can I ask you something? I go to Chinese restaurants a lot. I see a lot of people not using chopsticks. I should say something?
Absolutely. This is the kind of racism that goes undetected. It goes unaddressed.
And yet a lot of people would say, well, I didn't know it was racist.
Well, Phil John Rocker said he wasn't being racist when he used the words fag and spook and coon and all this in the comments that he made in Sports Illustrated. But nonetheless, he was. And so we all have to have the courage. People like Mr. Rocker and this young woman that I was out with need to face their racism and deal with it.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Racism in everyday life. We're talking with Dean Wheeler, a lecturer and educator from San Francisco, about how we can combat it. The example in your book is the young lady that you were out with who was not using chopsticks, but instead was using a knife.
Well, she was using a fork. She was eating a rice dish that is, we call it chicken fried rice, but it's got a more culturally acceptable term. And she's digging into this with this fork as if she is some Western pig, you know, disrespecting the Chinese all over the restaurant. And so we have to have the courage to face up to it. If we don't, and it angered me, it sickened me. The Chinese know me, and they'll remember me.
Did you, in the book you mentioned you slapped the fork out of her hand?
Well, I asked her if she would please use the chopsticks. She told me she didn't know how. And after about a minute of this, your indignation begins to rise a little bit. And I remember just saying, "Oh, this has got to stop." And I reached across the table, and I did something I probably should not have done, but I did. I slapped the fork out of her hand.
Now, needless to say, or not, because I have no idea. Do you still have a relationship with this person?
Well, I do, Phil, and it's interesting because she came to me the next day and we shook hands. The whole thing was a big misunderstanding, and I got to know her a little bit better. She is interested in seeing me, you know, socially, and I've got to ask myself, do I want to sacrifice the standing that I have among the Asian people in San Francisco because I have certain needs as a man? Or am I going to throw that respect away? And
well, all right, look it. Did she understand that not using chopsticks was a racist insult and has since altered that behavior?
Well, she doesn't want to go out to any Chinese restaurants. And I have told her, all right, that's a good compromise, but why can't you understand that using chopsticks, in other words, people that go into a Chinese restaurant and ask for a fork, I ask myself, are they even aware of what they're doing? Are they even aware of the cruelty of sitting there with a fork in your hand and eating, you know, a snow dumpling or a Szechuan broccoli or something? And these are the things that you have to ask yourself in everyday life. And my outrage got to me to the point where I just reached across the table, and I made the joke to the maitre d'. I said, when I slapped that fork out of her hand and it hit the floor, it sounded like
We have got a try to get the caller back.
Yeah,
Phil. I'm sorry. I made the comment that when I hit the fork out of her hand and it hit the floor, it made the sound. It sounded. I thought the maitre d' was taking an order on the phone. You know, because when it had that sort of a ring to it. I don't know. But I desperately, desperately want Kathleen to understand how hurtful her behavior was and how ultimately disgusting it is.
All right. Let's take a break here. Dean Wheeler, noted San Francisco author, lecturer on everyday racism and how we can do our part to combat it. Something as simple as not picking up chopsticks in a Chinese restaurant may sound not, you know, like it's much, but it is a, according to Mr. Wheeler, who knows, apparently he's well known in the Asian community, it is a profound racist slap to the face when you use a fork. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge. Always teetering. Never quite falling off. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm talking to Dean Wheeler, a lecturer and educator on the book that he's written on racism in everyday life and how we can combat it. You mentioned that in the Asian community in San Francisco, in Chinatown and other parts of San Francisco, you have a relationship where they extend to you the traditional Chinese greeting of a bow.
Yeah, that is correct, Phil. Primarily, I think, because of the many times that I've been in the community. I patronize many of their restaurants, do a lot of my dry cleaning there. And I guess make myself, a friend of the community. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with eating Chinese food with a fork and a knife in your own home. If you want to do takeout, that's great. If you want to have them home delivered. But when you go into a Chinese restaurant and you don't have the common courtesy to use chopsticks, you are insulting the Chinese waiter and maitre d'.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ernest. Ernest, go ahead.
Okay, well, I find it very, very odd that you would think that's insulting to a Chinese person.
I have experience. I know many of the Chinese. I go to many of their restaurants. And
who's actually told you that's insulted them?
Well, you have to understand that I studied and I visited Beijing, China, when they first opened the borders to Westerners. I ate in many of the best restaurants in China proper. And you would never insult a host by sitting down with a fork. And a gentleman by the name of Wang Tao, who is one of the primary restaurateurs in Shanghai, privately talked to me about his disgust.
He didn't like it, huh?
No, he did not.
Okay, well, what about somebody who doesn't know how to use chopsticks? Would you,
well,
such a hard time eating their meal?
With all due respect, I think you would have to be almost born with part of your brain missing not to be able to know how to use chopsticks.
But the young man is making a point. I mean, some people don't know how to use them.
Well, I would suggest if you're going to go into a Chinese restaurant, you can buy, as I said, you can get your takeout, you can go down to Mrs. Chow's or wherever you go and bring it home and eat it at your kitchen table with a big spoon like your Kramer in Seinfeld. But if you're going to go into a restaurant where you've got a Chinese, the Chinese are always watching, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but every time you look up from your meal, one of them's staring at you. Why do you suppose that is? What are you doing? Are you eating right now?
Am I eating right now?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm not talking to you.
I'm just saying, have you ever been to a Chinese restaurant? You know what I'm saying.
What do you mean when you look up?
If you're in a Chinese restaurant and you look up quickly, you'll see the chef staring at you.
Wouldn't you say you're making a racist remark right now by saying that Chinese people are so nosy that they would get into your business when you're trying to have dinner?
No, they're not getting into your business, but they want to see whether you have respect for what is called the dumb soul, which is their domicile, so they keep an eye on you, and it's not really intrusive in the Chinese culture. It's more like, is this person, you know, respecting me, or are they coming into my house and, as we like to say in the West, squatting and taking a you-know-what on me?
Well, I mean, I've never looked up from my meal and seen any. I find Asian people from China, if you're talking about people arrived, immigrants from China, I find them to be extremely respectful people.
Well, Phil, that's one of the great myths. It's not a myth, but behind that big smile, that big toothy smile, is a very intelligent person.
You know what? I think everybody has the right to use whatever eating utensil that they choose.
Yes, you do. But if you're in someone's home, wouldn't you agree that you would do things? Look, I don't want to see you or anyone. Do you know what a Chinese star is, a flying Chinese star?
Are you talking about a Japanese ninja star?
No, I'm talking, well, the Chinese use it in as well as in Kung Fu and some other the martial arts from the subcontinent of Asia. And
No, they do not. That is a Japanese weapon, sir.
Well, the Chinese have adapted it because I know they use it in the Red Army, so I'm just simply trying to tell you what I know. And you can get one of these embedded in your skull because you decided to reach for a fork.
Where?
You name it.
Oh, come on, man. Well,
you are absolutely ridiculous.
Sir?
First of all, you don't even have your facts straight.
What are you talking about?
I don't
have my
facts. Japanese weapon.
Yes, it's a Japanese weapon. Do you know where Buddhism comes from? India.
Yes.
It comes from India. And yet,
right.
It is the primary religion of Japan. Do you understand that things are adapted throughout that part of the world?
That's besides the point completely.
Right. No, it's not. You told me that, and I'm telling you, the Red Army uses it. Now you'll get one embedded right between your eyes.
Not for using not using chopsticks.
It leads to that kind of thing. You don't use chopsticks one day. The next day, you suddenly have yourself. Oh, look! I've got a half Asian baby.
Well, I.
Hmm. I think
are
you're taking it to an extreme, ridiculous
right.
point, Mr.
No,
because I'm
trying to. If you're into martial arts, you understand respect among cultures. You obviously have an appreciation for that. Correct.
Listen, I've been studying martial arts ever since I was born. I am Chinese American. My parents are both from China, and my parents.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
No. I'm totally opposed to what you're saying because I've seen my own parents use forks in a Chinese restaurant and they know everything completely about Chinese culture.
You ordered duck
you know
in a Chinese restaurant.
We're talking about practicality. It's being practical.
Yeah, what about that?
Well,
you use
Ernest,
a fork when it's suitable, use chopsticks when it's suitable. The Chinese believe that chopsticks are the superior utensil of choice.
All right, sir, let me ask you this. You see how this young man, Mr. Henry, just said that he's Asian, so he crept up on me. That's what they'll do.
And who?
Well, many of the Asians.
Wait.
Well, he could have told me he was Chinese and not make me look like a big sucker. Right now, I've got a big wrapper on my head.
Ernest, I would say...
No, I want an answer to my question.
What's the question?
When was he going to spit out that he's Chinese?
He's an American. Your parents are from China, right, Ernest?
Do I have to say that in the beginning of the conversation?
Well,
I'm Ernest, and I'm Chinese.
Well, it's very inscrutable of you. You see, you're being inscrutable.
I just happen to have some information. And so this so-called specialist thinks he does too.
Sir, I'm just trying to tell you. You go ahead and you pick up a fork and a knife in the Beijing Duck Restaurant, and you watch what comes sailing at your head.
Oh, come on. I was in the Peking Duck Restaurant in Beijing myself. I think I used a fork. In fact, I'm sure I used a fork and knife, and I didn't see anybody throwing a freaking flying star at my head.
Well, you know, I have great associations among Asians and Asian Americans, and I am trying to keep those as positive as I can, and I hate to see what's going on.
All right, look at Ernest. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Jason. Jason, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Yeah, this has got to be a joke, right? This guy isn't serious about what he's saying.
Well, Jason, this is Dean Wheeler. Let me ask you a question. I have spent a better part of my professional life among Asian Americans and Asians. I've traveled extensively.
Everything you're saying about Asians is patently racist, from the big toothy smile to your dry cleaning to, you know, I mean, to saying that Asians are quick to anger if you get in their face. I mean, everything you've said has been a stereotypical racist thing to say about Asians.
I would disagree with that.
Well, you said you made the comment, the big toothy smile.
You know something? I have very dear friends that are Chinese and Chinese Americans, and they love to make jokes about Western, you know, about Westerners and the clothes that we wear or our haircuts. It is something that is common. It's not racist. But when you walk into someone's home and you put your feet up on their coffee table, would you consider that rude? Of course you would. You walk into a Chinese restaurant and you use a fork and a knife, and they're not only going to think it's rude.
Would you consider it rude?
You may get followed to your car.
Would you consider it rude to slap the silverware out of someone's hand?
Good point.
Not in that instance, no, sir. Not when you're seeing
invading someone's personal space.
When you're seeing a wrong being done.
Mm-hmm. All right. hold on, Jason. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler on the racism of not using chopsticks. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me return to Jason, who is hanging on the line. You're with Dean Wheeler, Jason, here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm here. I just don't think this guy is for real. I think he's got to be kidding.
As I mentioned to Mr. Hendry and to his listeners, Jason, I spent the better part of 30 years traveling in Asia, and I've gotten to know a great many members of the Asian community here in San Francisco, which, as you know, is one of the largest encampments of Chinese in the West. You accuse me of racism, but I'm trying to point out that when you walk into a Chinese restaurant and you pull out a fork and a knife instead of using chopsticks, they're watching. They're watching your every move. I'm sorry?
I'm not into political correctness or anything, but
would you call it political correctness for me to show respect in your home by not putting my feet up on my filthy feet up on your breakfast table?
No, but everything you've had to say about Asian people could be taken as being racist.
Such
and
as?
You invading somebody else's personal space
give me
by slapping the silverware out of their hand is way ruder than anything else you've accused anyone else of.
Wait a minute. Tell me what I've said that has been racist.
The big toothy smile that you Asians are quick to anger. You don't want to get up in their face. That you get your dry cleaning done and that you eat in Asian restaurants. That's your interaction with Asian people, getting your dry cleaning done?
No, that's not all of it. No. You show me in the Asian community in San Francisco, yes, it just so happens they run a pretty good laundry.
The only thing you've talked about is chopsticks. It seems like you have some kind of fetish for food or chopsticks or something.
If I can't get people to understand this very basic value, that using chopsticks can get you killed in the wrong restaurant if you don't use chopsticks, I'm telling you, there are restaurants here in San Francisco. You pick up a fork and a knife.
I haven't read about anybody getting killed in San Francisco for using chopsticks fingers.
People know better.
Oh.
But that young man, well, you know what? You can laugh if you want to, but you want to pick up a fork and you think it's a great Friday night out getting a flying star right into one of your eyes? Great.
Oh, come on.
You are either the funniest or scariest person I've heard on radio in a long time.
Sir, I am trying to tell you, we live in a society where Martin Luther King himself said we want to judge people on the content of their character. Why can't we respect each other enough? You eat an egg roll with a fork, and you watch what happens to the back of your skull.
I eat Chinese food all the time. With a fork.
In a restaurant? In a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, in a Chinese restaurant.
What city do you live in?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, the Asian community in Memphis, like many Asian communities in that part of the world, has probably been so beaten into submission.
What does that mean?
Well, I think you know what it means.
No, I don't know what it means. What does that mean? San Francisco's on the West Coast, so it's closer to the disembarking point of Chinese people. But
but the other thing is the Chinese are probably scared to death to say anything in a place like Memphis.
Why? What's going on in Memphis? Let's hear you say something against the South.
I don't never forget it.
No, go ahead, man. Say it.
Say I don't want to say.
Say it.
Well, let me just put it this way. I wouldn't want to be standing on a balcony in a motel down there.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, you know it.
Oh, come on, man.
You're not for real.
30-plus years ago.
You're not for real. You're not comparing yourself with Martin Luther King.
I'm not comparing myself with Martin Luther King.
What
I'm just saying.
What would you do
try
to get
standing
shot
on
in
a...
Memphis, Tennessee?
What's that, sir?
What would you do to get shot in Memphis, Tennessee? Civil rights
Well,
leader,
wait a second.
Or...
I sure as heck don't think I deserve to get shot because I'm out taking the morning air. Jesus.
Oh, come on, man. You know, we're talking about a modern America moving into a new millennium, trying to bring all these things together, and you're talking about a cat nut using chopsticks in a Chinese restaurant getting a flying star through the back of his skull?
Well, now you're encouraging him to laugh, so the ignorance continues. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's it, man. Jason, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686. You've intimated...
I'm not, Mr. Henry, I'm not saying that it'll happen. I'm saying that... let me just tell you this. You've been warned.
What does that mean?
Well, I've spent the better part of 40 minutes trying to tell you, and now the only thing left to me is to say you have been warned.
I've been warned about what?
I have told you that if you pick up a fork and a knife in the wrong Chinese restaurant, if you've seen the autopsy photos of Kennedy.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, really? You want to hear the details?
What are you telling me? Lee Harvey Oswald's going to shoot me?
Lee Harvey Oswald going to shoot me? No.
Here is Dave. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, how you doing today?
Fine.
This is Dave from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
I spent 6 years overseas in the military. 3 years in the Philippines stationed there, and I was stationed on the Midway out of Yokosuka, Japan, and I've been to Hong Kong, and I know that's not all Chinese. That's a variety of different things, but I know all the places that I went to overseas. I tried to use chopsticks, and I was not coordinated for some ungodly reason why, I do not know, but I was not able to use chopsticks properly. And then I asked a lot of the restaurants that I did attend and asked them for silverware, Western-style silverware, knives, forks, and spoons, and they was overwhelmingly would try and help me use chopsticks or would give me silverware. I would go into these restaurants, and I would point at the food and say, I would like this because I didn't speak the language.
Yes.
But they tried to learn.
Do you know why?
Why?
You're in the military. Enough said.
And what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, they're not going to argue with a man who's in the military. What are they going to say?
Well, I wasn't in uniform. They had no idea I was military.
Well, you probably
when
got
I was,
a,
when
a
I was
tattoo.
In Hong Kong, when I was in Hong Kong, there is so many different nationalities.
I understand that,
around.
But American service people are recognizable not by their uniform, but by that buzz cut. See?
That there. Buzz cut.
You know, the flat top haircut.
Well,
and
okay.
They look at you and they go,
that.
I don't want to argue with this guy because
some,
we only need one Nagasaki.
There are some things that I did notice that I know we was taught to respect all their ways over there.
Of course.
I mean, walking out of a person's house or walking into a person's home. I had a lot of Japanese friends when I was in the military, and I would have to take my shoes off going into their house.
Well, that's not all that.
And when I walked out of
that.
Their house, I would walk out backwards, facing them walking out.
Well, I never took my shoes off of that. You know, there's only a few things I'm willing to do.
Well, in the restaurant, you had to into a Japanese restaurant, you had to take your shoes off. You wasn't allowed to go in.
These Chinamen can pick a jarhead out at 100 yards. Okay.
And we can stereotype a person by
right.
looking at them the very first
well,
time.
Well, that's right.
See
but
them.
I'm just
and
trying to tell
as
you.
As soon as I see a person. Not against.
Wait a minute! Wait a minute! I want to jump in.
I married a Pacific
Dave,
Islander.
Dave, I gotta jump
national.
In. What do you mean a Chinaman can pick a jarhead out at 100 yards?
Well, he knows what I'm talking about.
I thought
anybody could pick a military person out.
Yeah.
But that's not true today because you have a lot of people that have short haircuts.
You said you married a what?
A Philippine national. Yes.
Well, see, that ain't a Chinaman.
No. But you're saying Asian? She's a Pacific Islander.
Well, she's a Filipino, and so the thing.
Right.
And the other thing, you got to understand, and I'm sure you've noticed this because of the eye shape.
Right.
They can see their peripheral vision's better.
Oh yeah.
Yes, sir. And they're able to see off to the side.
Okay, that's just like.
All right.
Well,
see, that's the freaking racism.
This guy knows.
That's
he's
a
married to one.
Statement you're making because.
How is that?
You're saying the same thing. I think it was Jimmy the Greek said black people are faster.
No. Jimmy the Greek was a fat. He was a fat Greek. What did he know?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, I'm just saying because you're married to the Filipino, she can see 180 degrees off to the side because
not
of
true.
The whole the way the eyes are slit open.
Not true. The human.
What
body
are you talking about, Dave?
But
I gotta,
the only difference is my wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only difference between my wife and me that is very distinct difference is. I go out in the sun, I get sunburnt. She doesn't because her skin is brown. That's the only difference. She can tolerate the heat a lot better because she doesn't have hair on her arms like we do because her body over the years,
her
nationality
is
adapted to
you got to watch it when you're fooling around, you know, like if you're talking to a girl because she can be looking straight ahead like she's reading a racing form. Man, she knows what you're doing.
Because
all
she's got the slanted eyes, huh?
Yeah.
All women know that.
Dave, I got to... what I have here is a man who's been talking about racism and how we should use chopsticks. Meanwhile, your wife has good peripheral vision because of her slanted eyes. Chinaman can spot a jarhead at 100 yards off.
Are you calling me racist?
Yeah, I think I am. And you're using the term Chinaman.
Look, you better let by the way, Dave, you better let your wife drive your car because it's a better chance of not getting sideswiped.
Exactly.
You know, if you got the Filipino.
See what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Is he being gang any man? Mr. Henry.
The only thing I do have to say is I've been around him since 1983.
Yeah. Well,
okay, around the Asian.
You've been around
China.
Well,
and,
the Chinese.
And I'll tell you, the Chinese, the Japanese, and all the Asian Pacific Islanders and everything, they are so much more nicer than the American people are. American people, I'm an American myself, and then you get a flying star through the head.
All right.
I've ever been around.
David, thank you, man. Did you hear what that gentleman said?
No, I was checking my watch. I got a lecture.
Yeah, you go out and lecture there, man.
You've been warned, Mr. Henry.
You know, I'm going into a Chinese restaurant tomorrow night in Chinatown, Los Angeles, and I'm going to eat with a big fork and a big knife.
Then say goodbye to the back of your head.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Say goodbye to the back of your head. Bye, back of my head. You know what, Mr. Henry, I hope, just as that last gentleman said, I hope that someday I'm driven to murder just so I can go to hell and watch them spin you over a pit.
Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm asking you how you can justify that.
Justify it, Phil, by simply saying that I am familiar, I know many of the Chinese personally, and...
No, sir. When you say a Chinaman can spot a jarhead and, you know, the almond eyes, 180-degree peripheral vision, all of these things stereotypical of a kind of brain-dead racism of the middle of the last century.
Well, I don't know how to even begin to respond to that. I'm an educator.
Sir, did you make the comment that that man's Filipino wife, he better watch his step because with those almond-shaped eyes, she's got 180-degree peripheral vision?
I do not recall that, no.
You didn't say that?
I do not recall.
I heard you say to that gentleman, the Marine, that his Filipino wife, had good peripheral vision because her eyes were shaped funny and you could look out to the side.
I said...
You said while she's reading a racing form.
Well, that doesn't sound it doesn't sound like something I would say, and I'm telling you, I have worked among the Chinese, and all I'm saying is, when you go into a Chinese restaurant, use chopsticks like you care about something other than yourself. To have the selfishness of using a fork, yeah, thank you very much for the Chinese food, I think I'll chow into it with a fork. You ought to have your face slapped, and that's why I slapped it out of that woman's hands. Hey, you know what? She wants to go, you know, hey, she wants to be with me. She's going to have to, woman up.
Woman up, huh? We got a break? Again, I can't take a call? All right, let me take a Jennifer here. Jennifer, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
All I want to know is if it's so offensive to use a fork and a knife, then why do they provide them in the restaurants at all?
They do because, you know, let's put it this way. In your home, all right, you have a mop, correct? You have a mop, ma'am?
Okay.
All right. You don't want someone to squat in the middle of your kitchen and urinate, but you've got a mop to clean it up.
No, that's not why. What is that supposed? I don't have a mop to clean up urine out of the floor.
Well, what are you going to use?
But that's not the
point that I'm making.
That's not the purpose of the mop. That's
ma'am,
not
the mop
that's,
is
that's
there
not
to clean
why
up
I have a mop in the house.
The reason why you have cleaning utensils is to clean things up. You don't want someone to do that.
Right, but if I know something, if I know that if something is going to be offensive, if I know that something's going to be offensive, I'm not going to have it in my home. And so if a fork and a knife is offensive in a Chinese restaurant, I'm not going to have it.
Ma'am, it's offensive to me for someone to...
Okay, now there's the issue.
You know,
it's offensive to you. I was going to say it's offensive.
It would be offensive to me. Like in the movie The Exorcist, when that little girl comes down the stairs and she pees on the rug. That's offensive. But you still have to have some 409.
Well, wait a minute, man. What are you saying? Are you saying, in other words, that the Chinese, even though they can't stand the thought of having forks and knives, are going to have them there? That's not the same thing. That's what the lady's saying. If they don't like them, they don't have them.
Well,
it would be offensive if you walked into the restaurant and pulled out your own fork and knife. But
that's what most people do.
Have it sitting on the table when you walk up to the table next to your water.
It is their way of daring you. It's their way of saying, go ahead, I dare you.
Okay, well, one other thing you said you don't take your shoes off when you walk into some, you know, Asian homes.
I draw the line at that.
That is just as offensive as walking in and putting your feet on somebody's coffee table.
Look, I draw the line at that because I think at some point the Chinese and the Japanese have got to recognize, you know, we don't push Westerners that far.
You're picking one is offensive and one is not.
Jennifer,
offensive.
Thank you.
I'm just saying, Jennifer, let the Chinaman have what he wants, but don't let him push you around, and especially if you haven't washed your feet. That's a little joke.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Are you for real?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I would just say that respect for the Asian...
Well, I will tell you...
What you do?
Hold on, Phil. What?
What you do out here, Carl? Always out here. Tell you what you said. Just the radio.
I'm on the radio right now with Mr. Hendry. It's my wife, Phil. Yeah?
You come in the house now.
Is that your wife?
Yeah, she's a China woman. What do you want?
You come in the house now, bad boy. I spank your butt.
Oh, goody. I gotta go. Phil.
Okay, Hey, ask your wife. She's got that good peripheral vision.
How do you think she found me in the car?
Woo!
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.